Great. Welcome, church. Good morning to everybody. You're all seated at home in your comfort environment, and with winter slowly coming in, I'm sure you're enjoying being at home. So I want to greet all of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If this is your first time joining this broadcast, I want to welcome you. This is the house of God, and I really believe that God will minister to you and he will bless you this morning. Before we get into the word, I want us just to pray together. Pray for yourself. Pray for the spirit of revelation. Pray for understanding so that today you can receive what's on the heart of God for you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness, because the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. This morning, Father, we humble ourselves and we pray that you would come and have your way and do a great work within us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Great. I want to go straight into the word this morning as we get started. I'm very excited about what God has laid on my heart, and I believe it is for somebody out there. Why don't you open up your heart today and allow God to speak to you? I want you to take out your Bible, if you've got your Bible. Otherwise, take out your phone and let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. That is where we're going to start this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read a bit, 10 verses in total. I love my Bible and I love the Word of God, because that is where life comes from. Let's go to verse 1. The Bible says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly." Verse number 4. "In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." It's quite a deep portion of scriptures. It's talking about mysteries here. So he says, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Paul was talking about there are certain things that were not revealed in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, but now at this time, they were being revealed to the apostles and the prophets. Verse 6, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." Verse 8, "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me." For what purpose? "To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. That was a mouthful, but I'm sure God wants to minister to us from that mouthful this morning. Hallelujah. I'm very excited. I wish I could see your faces right now beaming as we are about to go through the word this morning. Allow me to ask you a question as we start today. Who has ever prayed this type of prayer? "Lord, if you are willing, please use me for your glory and honor. I am available and I want to be used." How many of us have made that prayer? And we have cried out to God and say, "Lord, if you can use me." Some of us will even say, "Lord, if you could use Moses, surely you can use me." And I think that's a very profound prayer. And I have made that prayer so many times. And I'm sure you have seen God using you whenever you make yourself available to Him. Personally, whenever I pray that kind of prayer, I have seen God coming through and using me in very interesting ways. And I think God is waiting for His church to make this type of prayer, where the church of Jesus Christ rises up and says, Jesus, we are available. Can you come and use us whichever way you want to use us? Jesus, we will go to whichever place you want us to go to preach the gospel. Because I believe Jesus is waiting for each one of us to be available to be used by Him. Now, as we get started today, I want you to know that God has His eye on you. Yes, God has His eye on you, my brother. His eyes are on you, my sister. He's been looking for someone to use next. He's been asking, who shall go for us? Who shall speak for us? And guess what? You are next in line. Some of you feel like you've been waiting on the wayside. You've been seeing people being used by God in mighty ways. You have seen God using people around you, healing the sick and setting free the bound. And you've been asking this question, when is my turn going to come? And I want you to know this morning, your turn is right here, right now, in the name of Jesus, because He's about to set you out for His glory and His purposes. Now, this morning, I'm very excited because we are just about to embark on a brand new series. On a brand new series. If you've been around our church long enough, you would have come to realize that we enjoy teaching using series. We don't want to just do onesies. You know, yes, there are times to do onesies, but we really believe in discipling people. And when we do series, I really believe that we ground the people of God in the principles found in the Word of God. You know, in the past 4 or 5 weeks, we've been talking about the finished works of Calvary, where we were saying that when Jesus comes into your life, He will save you utterly. He will save you to the uttermost. And that is what we've been exploring. And I'm sure you'll be able to go through your notes and you will see exactly what Jesus did for you on the cross. Now, this morning, allow me to announce to you the brand new series that we are embarking on. This series entitled Glory Dispensers. Glory Dispensers. This is about the great God who is passionate about His glory. Not only is He passionate about His own glory, but He wants to reveal His glory to mankind. And He is saying to you, I want to use you to express my glory to your friends. I want to use you to express my goodness to the people around you. And I've come to realize that almost every blessing, if not all the blessings I have experienced, they've all come through a man. They've all come through a friend. They've all come through a stranger. Guess what? God is in the business of partnering with frail humanity to reveal His goodness. Glory be to God. That is why this morning we are going on this journey of exploring glory dispensers. And I want you to know you are one of those people that God is going to use to reveal His glory in these last days. You know we are in the last days, right? The last days began right from the time that Jesus rose from the dead. And the church is waiting for the second coming of King Jesus. But before Jesus comes, He is saying, can I use you to express myself to this earth? Can I use you to show people my kindness, to show people my love for them? That is why you'd hear God calling the church that you are the body of Christ. So if you are the body of Christ, it means that if Jesus wants to go into a certain neighborhood, He looks for His body to go into that neighborhood. The Bible calls you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. So you are the one who expresses worship when you worship God. The Bible says you are the light of the world. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. You can see that God is saying, through you, I want to reveal something deeper, deeper than you ever think of. Glory be to God. So we serve a glorious God, a God of great love and goodness. God who is so good that he says, I want people to know me. I want people to know who I am. Now, what is the glory of God? As we are talking about glory dispensers. Because for you to be able to dispense something, you need to know something about it. And I want to touch briefly about what the glory of God is. We have mystified the glory of God. We have missed out what the glory of God is. And yet the Bible really shows us what the glory of God is all about. So briefly, let's look at this. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the invisible qualities of God which are made visible. So there are qualities that are found in God that he wants to reveal to mankind. And I want you to know there are things that are found in God that make him glorious. And he says, I want the people around you to see them. And that is what we are talking about today. That the glory of God is the invisible qualities of God that are made visible. Secondly, the glory expresses the worth of God in material sense. In a material sense, the glory of God expresses the whole worth of God. We're talking about the importance of God, the greatness of God, the honor of God, the splendor and the power of God. And so when we're talking about glory dispensers, we are saying that God is looking for somebody that he can use to showcase his power to humanity. When we're talking about glory dispensers, we are talking about somebody that God is saying, I want to show the people my splendor. Through your life, I want to show people my splendor. I want to show people my greatness, how great I am. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Do you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit would use you to speak words of comfort to a family that is grieving? And through you, you are expressing the glory of God. You are expressing the goodness of God. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord lies in the goodness, in his goodness. This is the thing. The glory of God lies in his goodness, especially in his pardoning grace and mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, there is no greater glory than the glory that was expressed through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, when he came down and died for humanity. And guess what? He's saying, can I use you to express this level of my glory to somebody who doesn't know Jesus? Hallelujah. So that's what we're talking about. And we are saying the Lord wants to use you to express himself to your family. The Lord wants to use you to express himself to your community, to your workplace. Those of you who are back at work, those of you who will be going back to work maybe from the 1st of June, the Lord is saying, can I use your body to express my glory to the people around you? Because it is when people see the glory of God that they will be drawn to God, that they'll be drawn to his glory. When people see the kindness of God, when people see the mercies of God, when people see the goodness of God through his body, they will be drawn to God. Hallelujah. Now, we've been going through a corona season. I want to call it a corona season. And one of the ways of preventing corona, as we've been taught, is sanitization, where you wash your hands for more than 20 seconds, whereby you sanitize your hands when you get into a shop. And these days, when you walk into a shop, you will find one of the staff members there standing on the door with a sanitizer, with a dispenser. And in that dispenser, there will be some sanitizer. And they squirt that thing on your hands and you just rub them around. And then they say, you're now clean. You can walk into the shop. Now, allow me to show you and to remind you. I've got a dispenser here. This is a dispenser that you would find in all the shops. And they call you and you stretch forth your hands and they sanitize you. And the same way that God is saying to you, I want to use you as a dispenser. I want to fill you up with my glory. And this is what God is saying to you. This is what God is saying to the church. that can I use you as a dispenser of my glory? Can I use you to squirt out some glory? Hallelujah. I want you to imagine this dispenser here full of the glory of God. And everybody who comes your way, who comes to your house, you spray them. You spray them with the glory of God. In other words, you contain the glory of God. Hallelujah. You contain the glory of God. And the sanitizer that is in this container can only come out if this dispenser works properly in the way that it should work. And therefore it brings me to the technology of the dispenser. And I'm talking about you now as an individual. And I'm saying to you that the Lord wants to use you. Allow me just to put it here to remind you that you are a dispenser of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the concept of the dispenser as we go through this. The concept of the dispenser as we go through this moment. A couple of things. I want to mention six things about being a dispenser. I'm talking about this dispenser here. There's a technology behind this dispenser. The first thing that you need to understand is that the dispenser is simply a tool and a mechanism of distribution. This dispenser, basically, it's a tool and a mechanism of distribution. And that is what you are. When the Lord comes and He uses you as a dispenser, you are simply a tool. You are simply a plastic bottle that is being used to dispense something that is more treasurable than the container itself. Glory be to God. The second thing that you need to understand is the dispenser must be filled with the right product. The dispenser must be filled with the right product. Imagine you walking into Macro and the lady there standing on the door, she squirts out something and instead of a sanitizer coming out, oil or petrol or paraffin comes out. You would be highly disappointed. Why? Because you're expecting sanitizer and not oil. Now, the point here is this, the dispenser must be filled with the right product. Now, if you are to be the dispenser of the glory of God, the dispenser of glory, you need to realize that you've got to be filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. The next thing that you need to understand is that the dispenser needs to have the ability to be filled. This is very key. The dispenser needs to have the ability to be refilled. Because as you go around and you're giving forth the glory of God, you run out. You run empty. You need to be able to be refilled with the glory of God. Just like this bottle here needs to be refilled with sanitizer. Very, very key. The fourth aspect is the dispenser is useful as long as it is able to do the job. As long as it's able to squirt out the sanitizer, you see, it remains useful. But the moment it gets blocked here, we're not going to enjoy the sanitizer, and therefore it becomes useless. Now, for you to be the dispenser of the glory of God, for you to become a glory dispenser, you need to be useful. You need to be able to release the glory of God. Hallelujah. The next issue here, an empty dispenser is useless to the owner and to the customers. Imagine there you are standing wanting to get your hands sanitized and nothing comes out. It becomes useless. The dispenser becomes useless. And I'm saying here today that an empty dispenser is useless to the owner and to the customer. If I'm empty, I become useless in the hands of God. I become useless to my neighbors because I'm not able to express the glory of God. Hallelujah. The last point that we need to look at is the dispenser is okay with not receiving attention from the customers. Wouldn't it be weird for somebody to run and start hugging this dispenser? No. But the dispenser is okay with not receiving attention from the customers. This is what I wanted to put across to you around the concept of a dispenser. Very, very key. Now, I want us just to go deeper a little bit around this whole concept of glory dispensers. We read 10 verses from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. And it was talking about Paul, where Paul was expressing himself as a dispenser to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Paul was telling the people about who he was, the kind of a person he was, the kind of a dispenser he was, and what was contained in him. So I want us to go on a journey this morning around the life of a dispenser, the life of a dispenser. So we're going to look at five principles this morning. And what I'm trying to do today is just to lay the foundation that will help us to go deeper on this concept of being glory dispensers. It will probably take us the coming 5 weeks for us to go deep into this aspect, because it's very important for you to be in a state that God can use you, because that is what God wants you to do for him right now. So let's look at the first principle this morning. The first principle around this concept of being a glory dispenser is you are completely devoted to Jesus. A life of a dispenser is a life of devotion to Jesus Christ. It is a life of commitment to the one that called you. Glory be to God. Let's look at what Paul says. Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 1 and verse 7. He says here, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of Gentiles." Verse 7. "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." When you look at Paul, the writer here, Paul was in prison in Rome. He was a prisoner in Rome. And he was saying here, "For this cause, for this reason, I am a prisoner. I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus." You see, Paul was not in prison because he had stolen chocolate, or he had stolen sugar, or he had stolen some cookies. The reason why Paul was in prison, it was because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was about to be tried because there were Jews who were accusing him for preaching a totally different teaching from what Moses had taught them. So Paul was in prison not because he had committed any crime, but the crime that he had committed was that of being a follower of Jesus Christ. It was that of being committed to Jesus Christ, his Lord. And I want you to know that if you are to be a glory dispenser, you need to be available to the extent of being made uncomfortable as you pursue Jesus Christ. Many people will follow Jesus as long as it is comfortable. But this morning, I want you to know one of the qualifications of becoming a dispenser of the glory of God, it is becoming a prisoner of Jesus Christ. It is allowing yourself to be inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the glory. And today, more and more Christians will ask, is this going to make me feel uncomfortable? Oh yeah, it will make you very, very uncomfortable. Why? Because Jesus had to go to the cross. That was one of the most gruesome deaths that anyone had to go through. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you still prepared to make that prayer? "Lord, if you can use me, use me." If you are still prepared to make that prayer, then you've got to come to this point like Paul, who says, "For this cause, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ." In verse 7, he says, "I am a servant to this gospel." He says here, "I am tied to serve this gospel." When you are a servant, you will serve the needs of the master. The servant will be told what chores to do, how long to do them, how well to do them. This is what a servant does. So the moment you say, "I want to be a glory dispenser," you are saying, "I'm now at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a servant of him, and he can tell me what I need to do." Glory be to God. Now, if you are that servant, you will understand that there is a reward that will come your way. A reward right here on earth and the world to come. Glory be to God. Jesus was talking about, he says, "Yeah, if you serve me, You will not lose your reward. If you give water to these little ones, you will not lose your reward. Glory be to God. And I want you to know that if you are a servant to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will receive a reward right here on earth, and the reward into the world that will come, where he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Glory be to God. So that is the one key for you to become a dispenser of the glory of God. You are completely devoted to Jesus Christ. Let's look at the second principle. The second principle here is this. The glory is through you for someone else. Isn't that profound? That when the glory of God comes, it's not so much just for your enjoyment. The glory of God, when it comes, God wants to use you to express that glory to somebody else. So it is through you, but not just for you, but it is for the next person. That is why I said the Lord wants to express his glory to your neighbors. The Lord wants to express his glory to your enemies. And are you prepared to be used by God? Hallelujah. When you look at what Paul says in verse 1 here, where we have alluded to, he says here, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." So what Paul was saying here was that I'm a prisoner and I'm containing something. And the reason why I'm in this state, it is because of you. It is for your benefit. Glory be to God. You see, waking up in the middle of the night praying for somebody else is not for your benefit. It is for the benefit of that person. If you're an intercessor, you are the one who stands in between people and God. You're the one who pleads the case of these people before the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It is not comfortable, but you do it because you understand that I'm a dispenser. And for me to fulfill my purpose, it has to go to its intended objective. Paul is saying here, "For the sake of you Gentiles." And in verse 8, he says, "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." Again, he's emphasizing that this grace was given to me, not for my benefit, not for my comfort, but for your benefit. And therefore, Paul had to come to that place of being faithful to his calling. If you are to be a glory dispenser, you need to be faithful towards what God has called you. What is it that God has called you to do? Are you being faithful to your calling? Are you being devoted to your calling? Glory be to God, because it is not for you. I want you to know you have a gift, but that gift is not for you. That gift is for the next. That gift is to benefit the body of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. So glory dispensers are simply that. They are instruments and vessels through which God works. They are instruments and vessels through which God works. You need to understand this morning that if you are still stuck in that place where you ask the question, what is in it for me? Maybe you are not ready to be a dispenser of the glory of God. You see, when we serve God, it's not because we are always benefiting, no. But I want you to know, for the sake of the calling, we will do things that we are not comfortable to do, but we will do them for the next person. People who serve God in worship teams, the amount of time they spend in preparation so that they can be a blessing to the people of God, why do they do this? It is because they understand that it is through them and for somebody else. Glory be to God. John the Baptist was a dispenser who understood this principle. When he was on the scene, where he was busy introducing the Lord Jesus, he understood that it wasn't about him. It was about the one coming. It was about the Messiah. It was about the Messiah. It was about the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And therefore, when he was asked who he was, I don't know if you were John, if you were going to be very honest. Because you see, here people were saying, "We want to know who the Messiah is." And look at this here. And the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 19, it says here, and this is the witness of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and said, and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I want you to know, when you're dispensing the glory of God, you are not the originator of the glory. You are simply the instrument that God is using. And this is the folly of many people. When God has used them in a season, they forget that whatever they are giving out, they are not the source. They are simply a channel and a conduit through which God has decided to use for that season. And if the church could understand the difference between the instrument and the source, we will not be swayed away by people who want to take on the glory for themselves. Now look at the verse 29 of John 3. He says here, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. Oh, what a profound statement. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Then my joy is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth is earthly and speaks from the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. John understood his place, that you are simply the heralder. He was simply the one heralding, the one who was coming, saying, just make the way, prepare the way for the one is coming. Glory be to God. Make way for the Messiah. And here John was saying, I am the friend to the bridegroom. And I'm excited when the bridegroom and the bride are communing and when they are talking. And what he was talking about was, I am full of joy because I have seen the bridegroom talking to the bride. Hallelujah. And saying, I'm okay with stepping aside. I will step aside. Child of God, are you prepared to step aside after God has used you? Are you prepared to move aside and to point to the one who gave you the ability to minister that profound word? Or you say, you know what? You know, it takes a lot for us to get this word. It takes a lot for us to practice and for us to be able to minister to you like this. The moment we are in that space, pride wells up in our hearts and we can easily get disqualified in the process. But John said, I decrease so that the bridegroom could increase. Glory be to God. I'm talking about understanding that you are simply an instrument. So as you make those profound prayers of God to use you as a dispenser, I want you to understand that you can never replace the source. You can never replace the source. The Lord wants to use you. And I want you to know, as the Lord uses you, there is some residual that remains inside of you. You become a beneficiary of what God is doing through you for his body. Glory be to God. I want us to look at point number C of being a dispenser. A dispenser gives what he or she has received from God. So profound. A dispenser gives what he or she has received from God. And this is a question that I want to pose to you. As a dispenser, have you received from God what you're giving out? Or you're busy manufacturing your own product and giving it out to the people of God? And I want you to know, the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruit. A glory dispenser, a person that is dispensing the glory, there will be a distinction. Glory be to God. They will run without getting weary. They'll mount up on wings like an eagle. Why? Because they are busy receiving and passing it on. Receiving and passing it on. And this is what God wants to do through God's church right now. He's saying, can I use you as a local body of Christ in your community? Can I use you as a channel of blessing to the community that I have sent you to minister to? Look at this. In Ephesians 3 verse 2, Paul says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That was given to me for you. I received revelation and I pass it on to you. I receive the anointing, I lay hands on you, and you are healed. I receive a word of knowledge, I pass it on to you. And I say, this is what the Lord is saying. If it makes sense, take it. If it doesn't make sense, take it. Do not take it. I have seen people giving words of knowledge, and they almost want to manipulate you to take it and to receive it by force. No. If it has come from God, the person who is receiving it should have a testimony, because the same spirit that has given you a word of knowledge is in that person. Glory be to God. You've got no reputation to protect. You've got no reputation to keep. If the Lord leads you to lay hands on somebody and that person doesn't get healed, guess what? You have done your part. Leave the rest to the one who sent you. Hallelujah. Because he knows the end before the beginning of the story. This is so profound. He says here, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Saints, if you are to be an effective dispenser, you need to always receive from God. You need to spend time. You need to find a way and a point of connection with the source. Because the moment that the supply is cut from the source, you are dry. The moment this dispenser is empty and I haven't filled it up again, it becomes useless. Glory be to God. And this is what I'm saying today. So he says here, the grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. This was given to me by revelation. This was given to me by spending an intimate time with the Lord. This was given to me when I was waiting upon the Lord. And in my moment of waiting upon the Lord, he drops things in my heart. He drops things into this vessel that he can give forth to the people around. Now, what that means is that when I am disconnected with the source, I disadvantage the people around me. I disadvantage you. You are not able to hear what God is saying in this season. Glory be to God. So this is very, very key. Without getting, a dispenser cannot give out anything. Without being refilled, a dispenser cannot give out. When a dispenser is not filled up with the right product, you can see that this is a plastic container. Guess what? We kick it out. Even my kids can start kicking it around as a soccer ball. It becomes useless. Now, child of God, you remain useful as long as you are being filled by God. The more you are filled by God, the more useful you are to the people around you. Glory be to God. That is very, very key for you to understand. So the ability to impart the glory of God comes from having received from God. My friend, you cannot give what you do not have. You cannot take me where you haven't been. I want you to know that as a leader, you've got to be a visionary. You've got to see where you are going. You've got to move in the vision, in your spirit man. You've got to go ahead of everybody else and see what God is about to do. And then you come back into the natural and you tell people, I have seen the promised land. It is great. There is milk. There is honey. There is everything that you need. It is because you would have walked into the promised land with the eye of the Spirit. It. Does somebody hear me this morning? This is so, so profound. There's a story about Peter when he was going through the beautiful gate, and this man was seated there expecting to receive money. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What Peter was saying, I cannot give you money, I cannot give you silver, but I can give you Jesus, because I have Jesus inside of me. He has filled me up by his Holy Spirit, and with that power that Jesus has shown me, rise up and walk. The reason why Peter was able to minister with such power, it was because Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at 1 John chapter 1. From verse 1, very, very powerful. The Apostle John is bringing out some very profound things here. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. No, he's talking about an experience. He's saying, we are not giving you a theory. It's not a theoretical based study. This issue is practical. That which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have gazed upon and touched with our own hands, this is the word of life. And this is the life that was received. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. So, so profound. He is talking about an experience. He is talking about touching. He is talking about seeing. He is talking about experiencing the word that is Jesus Christ. And he was saying, we've got confidence in what we are talking about because we saw it. We experienced it. We saw Jesus with our naked eyes. So he was talking about whatever we are giving to you is not trial and error. It has been tested and tried, and we have affirmed it. And this morning, child of God, I want you to know that if you are to be a glory dispenser, you need to have experienced God. You need to have waited on him. You need to have seen him and him talking to you. Glory be to God. Many people want to dispense from nothing. Every ministry ought to happen from the overflow. If you are to be a teacher of the word, if you are to be a minister of comfort, you've got to have been comforted yourself and filled up with the spirit of comfort, and then you're able to understand when somebody's grieving. This morning, the Lord wants to fill you up so that you can say, my cup runs over. And when your cup runs over, ministry is easy to do. You will not run out. Glory be to God. Many, many times we minister out of the cup itself, inside the cup. That is where we minister to people. And no wonder why we are fatigued. No wonder why we start making mistakes. It is because there is no overflow. But when you spend time with Jesus, he will overflow in you, and you're able to give out. Glory be to God. Talking about Jesus, the Bible talks about how he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. You find that in Luke 5:16. He frequently withdrew to replenish. Why was he withdrawing? He knew that right through the day, he's busy dispensing. Right through the day, he's busy dispensing the glory of his Father. And then you start running out. And then at night, he would go into the wilderness and he gets filled up again. Glory be to God. I'm going to call upon you people who minister in God Church. Be in the habit of being replenished by God. And then ministry will be a joy. Ministry will be a blessing. Glory be to God. I'm talking about being filled up. And this morning, I want you to know that the best gift you can give to your family is time that you spend with God. The more time you spend with God, the safer your family is around you. Because when you are filled up by God, there are some things that you cannot do. You cannot raise your hand onto your wife when you are filled up by God. You will not spank your child to the point of abuse because you are filled up by God. So the gift that you can give to your family, it is the gift of you spending time with glory. You spending time with God. Hallelujah. Are we together this morning? Let's look at point number D. Point number D is a dispenser is qualified by God. This is very, very key. A dispenser is qualified by God. You see, before I use this dispenser here, I look at it, I pour stuff into it, and I'll say, you know what? Oh, there is a leak here. I'm going to fix that leak so that you stop leaking. And by so doing, I'm now qualifying it for it to be used. So when God looks at you, he does not say, I want you to be qualified first before I can use you to be a dispenser of my glory. What God says, come as you are, because when you come to me, you will experience restoration. When you come to God, he will fashion you into an instrument fit for purpose. That is what God will do. So God will qualify that which he calls. A dispenser is qualified by God. Why am I saying this? The Bible says in verse 8, this was Paul, says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, This grace was given me. This grace was given me. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. He is talking about an apostle who was born after time. He was talking about an apostle who was a chief among the sinners. And he was saying, Jesus had to fetch me after his time here. And when he looked at himself, he felt the least among the apostles. And he was saying, but God qualified me. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that a qualified dispenser does not need God. That is why God will not look at people who are able, people who've got the capability, because after you have done something out of your own capability, you say, well, what did you expect? I studied for it. Well, what did you expect? I'm handsome. Oh, well, what did you expect? I've got a mandla. I've got power. But so what God will do, he will look for a dispenser that is able to give him all the glory after he has used the dispenser. Very, very, very key. I want you to understand this morning that God will call those people who will bring him the glory. And he will look at the rugged. He will look at the rejected. He will look at the good for nothing, the no brand people. People who do not know how to do certain things. Those are the people that God will say, come up now. I will turn you around into a sharp threshing instrument for my glory. So do not disqualify yourself before time. And this is what many people do. We disqualify ourselves before time. Paul was the least of all the apostles, and yet God saw it fit to use him for his purposes. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. He says here, brothers and sisters, consider the time of your calling. Consider the time that God came to you and said, can I use you to be a worship leader? Consider the time that God came to you and say, can I use you as a cell group leader? Consider the time that God came to you and say, can I use you to encourage my child here? Now he says here, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Are you feeling weak right now? You are qualified. Are you feeling the least right now? You are qualified. Isn't it funny that God would always look for people who are totally in the opposite of what he's looking for? When he was looking for a father of many nations, he looked for a man who had no child. He looked for a woman who could not bear children. Isn't it so interesting that when God was about to look for a deliverer for his children, he looked for a man who could not speak. And yet this man was supposed to speak before Pharaoh. I find it profound that God would choose me, that I could speak his word right now. This morning, child of God, I want you to know, God can use anything that is available. God can use anything that is broken. God can use anything that is vulnerable, that says, Lord, I am not able, then says, that is what I need. If you say, I am not able, I am able. Glory be to God. This is so powerful for the church to understand. And I want you, if you've been looking down upon yourself, maybe because of your background, maybe you are not the best student in your school, and you're saying, what good can come out of me? I want you to know that in the same way that God raised Jesus from Nazareth, a city that was looked down upon, if God could use Nazareth, even people say, is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? And yet Jesus came out of Nazareth. I want you to know right now, the Lord will use you in places that you never thought you are qualified. Glory be to God. He qualifies the called, and that is what we call grace. That is what grace does. Grace will open doors for you. Grace will ensure that you get a job that you're not qualified to get. Why? Just because it's called grace. It's called favor, saints. And this morning, I want you to realize that God will qualify you when he has called you. So, so profound. Let's look at the last point for today. A dispenser is committed to showing his glory with clarity. There is a commitment to the dispenser. There's a commitment to the instrument that God wants to use. And this commitment is, Lord, I will express you in a very clear and plain way. Many people complicate what God has called them to do because they want to add things. When God has stopped, they want to continue talking. When God has moved, they want to stay. When God has stopped, they want to continue walking. There is a problem when we operate like that. We then become disqualified. So a dispenser is committed to showing his glory with clarity. And this is what Paul was saying in verse 9. He says here, I am committed to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, of this mystery. I am committed to make plain, not to complicate it, not to make it difficult for people to see his glory, not to make people to pay for them to come and get healing when you have ability to bring healing in people's lives. When we do that, it's no longer plain. And what we're trying to do gets complicated. This is so key to any dispenser of the glory of God. God wants to be known in his holiness and in his purity. God wants to be known in his holiness and in his purity. When Paul was about to go to Rome, when he was departing from Ephesus, he was talking to the elders at the church at Ephesus before they released him. And this is what he said. He said to them, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Which means when I fail to clearly show forth the glory of God, there is a level of accountability. I will be asked to give account. And he says here, I am innocent of your blood. For what reason? For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole will of God. For I have not shrunk to declaring to you the completeness of the glory of God. I have not deprived you to see the glory of God. I have told you the truth plainly. I have shown you the goodness of God. I have comforted you when you needed it. When you were down and out, I did not put you on a guilt trip. I told you that the Lord will forgive you. He will release you of your sins. Hallelujah. Because that is the heart of God. I'm talking about being so clear about dispensing the glory of God without veiling it with our own character, with our own flaws, when we start making it difficult for people to know Jesus because we are saying, before you come to church, you need to wear a tie, you need to dress in a certain way, and people will say, if this is what church is all about, sorry, I cannot come. I want to come in my t-shirt. I want to come in my shorts. Do you know there are people who do things like that? But what is the issue we're talking about here? Is being able to declare the word of God plainly. Is being able to dispense the glory of God with such clarity. Look at this. In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas were busy preaching in synagogues. The Bible says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas entered the Jewish synagogue as usual. And they spoke so well that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. They spoke so well. They presented the glory of God plainly. It was so clear that people could not help it but to be drawn towards the glory of God, but to be drawn to the mercies of God. Why? Because these two spoke so well. This morning, will you speak so well on behalf of God? This morning, will you remain faithful even when the people that you serve do not appreciate? You know, one of the things that I've realized, one of the most thankless jobs is being a pastor. When you shepherd the people of God, you preach your heart out, nobody pays attention. You pray for people, nobody says thank you. But am I going to stop from doing that? No, I'm not going to stop. I'll continue expressing the heart of God in the best ability that God has given me so that I'm able to give account. Glory be to God. Whether somebody says, thank you, pastor, or somebody just walks past me, I want to be faithful to the calling of God. Why? Because I'm just a dispenser. Glory be to God. I want you to know that when we fail to dispense the glory of God with clarity, without ambiguity, it becomes a blockage for us to go into our next level of dispensing the glory of God. You are disqualified until you are qualified by what you're doing right now. You're already a dispenser, son of God. You are already an instrument in the hands of God, but it is still the process of God that says, you know what, you are not ready for the next level. Because there are levels in the ability to dispense the glory of God. Now, Moses and Aaron were dispensers of the glory of God. Moses and Aaron were supposed to express the glory of God before the people of God. But there was a time where they failed to express the glory of God with accuracy. Remember the time where the people of Israel cried out for water. They were saying, Moses, give us some water. I'm now in the book of Numbers. And the Bible says Moses was told by God after he had complained to God. And God said to Moses, go and stand before my people and speak to the rock and water will come out. Then Moses, in his anger and fury, he stood before the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock, the Bible says he shouted to the people of God and says, shall we get you water out of this rock? And in that moment, the Bible says Moses struck the rock twice. And because God is gracious, water still came out. Because God loves his people. God loves his people. Sometimes God will ignore my weaknesses in order to minister to you. So when I preach powerfully sometimes, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is okay with me. It is because God loves you so much that he will minister to you. So, when you look at Numbers 20 from verse 12, the Bible says there, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me to show my holiness in the sight of the Israelites. Other versions say, because you did not glorify me before the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I have given them. Ooh, what a sanction. That sanction can happen to any one of us. Moses was told, yes, you will lead them to the border. You will see the land, but you will not partake of the land. That is how serious God takes it when we misrepresent his glory before people. Moses was disqualified from entering the promised land. I don't want to be disqualified for my next level of promotion. You do not want to be disqualified just because you are saying things out of tune, just because you are taking the glory where God says, I will share my glory with no other. That is how jealous God is concerning his glory. So this morning, as we come to the end of this teaching, I want you to understand that God wants to use you. The Lord wants to express his goodness through you. And I want you to remember these 5 points, that it's just that you are an instrument. If you can understand that, that will be a source of humility. You will operate in what God has called you with a higher level of humility. Saints, may the Lord bless you. I want to pray for you right now. May the Lord bring you to that place where he can use you. And so just open up your hands right now as I pray for you. Father of glory, I pray for your people right now. Father, we want to be used. I pray that every hindrance that has stood in their way might be removed. Lord, I pray that each one would find grace in your sight, that you can use them for your purposes and for your glory. Today, Father, I thank you that you have not disqualified us before walking into that space. Lord, we thank you that in our weaknesses, you are able to use each one of us. I pray for God Church right now that you'd use this local church as an instrument of your glory. Lord, we pray that we'll be faithful to the purposes you have given us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. I really hope God bless you today as we start this series. I want you to join us again next week as we go deeper into the life of a dispenser. What does it look like? How does it look like? How do you position yourself to be a dispenser worth being used by God? So God bless you. May his peace go before you. May He preserve you and protect you until we meet again next week. In Jesus' name, amen.